Turn over to the book of Hebrews in the first chapter, if you don't mind. I'll tell you something. You'd better listen to me while I'm preaching to you, because there's only one heartbeat between you and the flames. One little old fragile, puny heartbeat between you and the flames. If it ever stops and misses that beat or two, you're gone. You better listen at me. Some people are silly and foolish. If their granddaddy went to hell because he was a Catholic, and their grandmama went to hell because she was a Catholic, or their brother went to hell because he's a Presbyterian, they say, I ain't going to make a change. I'm just going to go the same way he did, that is to hell. I don't understand things like that. If my mother goes to hell and my daddy goes to hell and my wife goes to hell and the children go to hell and my friends go to hell and my neighbors go to hell, I hope and pray to God he'll take me to heaven. I don't want to go to hell because they're down there. If they won't use any wisdom and try to serve God and please God and they're going to burn and scream in the flame from now on, I don't want to go down there. I can't be no consolation to them. I want to go to heaven regardless to where they want to go. I want to go to heaven. This is an individual thing. And down here we got mothers and daddies and brothers and sisters and all, and I know that. But let me tell you something, folks. I tell you again, there's no such thing as a natural mother, a natural daddy, a natural brother, or a natural sister as far as God's concerned in the eternities. There is no such thing. You spend 10 or 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years with your natural relatives here, and that makes them your family. But I say again, you're going to spend thousands upon thousands and millions upon millions and billions upon billions and trillions upon trillions of years with your spiritual family, and after you spend a few trillion years, then you're going to start all over again and spend another few trillion. And after you get through, you're going to start all over and spend another few billion, and when you get through with them, you're going to start all over and spend another few billion. And on and on and on. So see, you're going to be with them a long time. That's your family. You'll learn to love them during that time a whole lot better than you did the ones you spent 30, 40 years with. So we need to wake up. Jesus said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? These that do the will of my Father in heaven. We are a God family, a spiritual family. God only gave a mother and daddy just to raise up human bodies to turn them into temples of the Holy Ghost, so he could replenish his kingdom. That's all it's for. A little baby has to have a mother to watch over it. So you're just raising up human bodies for God. That's all it is, an individual affair. You say, but that's my mother and daddy. That's my brother and sister. Well, it won't be long before that little fellow you raising up, he'll say, that's my mother and daddy. It's my brother and sister. Then the little fellow that they raise up will say, that's my mama and daddy. It's my brother and sister. See, it's just a routine thing just to bring up human bodies for God's kingdom. But when we get up there, we won't remember any brothers. We won't remember any. I've heard people say, when I get up there, I know I'm going to know my brother and my mother and daddy and my sisters. That's true. When you get on the other side, if they make it into heaven, you'll know them. But I want you to know, if they die and go to hell, you'll have no remembrance of the daddy that went to hell. You'll have no remembrance of the mother that went to hell. You'll have no remembrance of the brother or the sister or the friend or the neighbor. The Bible said in that land, there's no remembrance of former things. You won't remember anything back there. That's right. So then you won't have to worry about that. The ones that made it in, you'll remember them. You'll say, well, I know that'll be my mother and daddy, my brother and sister. No, you won't. That won't be your mother and daddy. You look over there and see that aged daddy. He'll be a young man and you'll be a young man, and you won't run over and say, hello, daddy. You look over and say, my darling brother. You look over and see that mother that's old and gray and wrinkled. She won't be old, gray, wrinkled. She'll be a young woman. You won't run over and put your arms around and say, my dear old mother. She ain't going to be no dear old mother. She's going to be a young, nice-looking woman. Say, my dear sister, my precious sister. She'll be just as pretty as you are. Now, you understand what I'm saying? I ain't going to be no dear old mothers and dear old daddies. I don't know where we get that kind of thing, you know. We like to feel like there's going to be dear old mothers and dear old daddies, and we're going to run through our arms around them and little babies. Somebody said, my precious little baby that died at 3 months old, I'm going to run and grab him up in my arms. I let that be some big doings. That's right. That little feller, you run over and grab him, he won't be so little. So then it's a different world. It's a different thing altogether. Down here, the Lord makes our hearts dear to one another in our own natural families. The reason he makes you a little more concerned about your baby than he does the other man's baby is because he wants you to take care of it. He gives you the responsibility of that one. He wants you to take care of it and raise it up as a human body so he can dwell in it as a spirit. And that's all it's for. And he has to make it a little more dear to your heart, or you wouldn't take care of it. You wouldn't work for it. You wouldn't labor for it. Somebody said, well, I believe I would. Well, I don't know. I don't find too many of you laboring for my children. My children get hungry. Ain't too many of you want to go out and work on a job to get them a biscuit. I know some of you might love me enough as your pastor since I've been with you. You might do that. But I'll tell you what, that little boy that's got his heart strained or got his life wrapped around your heart strings, you'll get out there and you'll get him a biscuit. Let him start crying and hollering, Daddy, I'm hungry. And you'll go do it different. God made it like that. But like I said, that was just for his purpose, to replenish his kingdom. He said, multiply and replenish the earth. God is a spirit. Who is my brother, sister, mother, daddy? These that do the will of my Father in heaven. You ought to love your mother. You ought to love your daddy. You ought to reverence them, respect them, and honor them. Love your family. But seek the kingdom first and love God with all your heart. Let all that be secondary. Never put your bills before God. Never put your parents before God. Never put your children before God. Never put your substance before God. Never put your desires, personal desires, before God. You love the Lord? Now somebody says, well, I don't believe it, Brother Pike. Well, why don't you go home and read your Bible and prove me wrong and come back and tell me about it? That's the best way to help me. Book of Hebrews, if you've got your Bibles, you want to read with me? The first chapter, the first verse. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience, received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we should be, but one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor. Thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in thee put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I am the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor all them that are tempted. All right, I was reading a good little bit here. You know, if people somehow or another could ever get it in their minds or in their understanding that to have salvation or to be saved is not some kind of intellectual concept called faith, more people are going to be lost and die and go to hell believing that they're going to heaven than anything else I know of. The Bible said, if you have not a love for the truth, I'll turn you over to reprobate mind, let you believe a lie and be damned. That means the Word of God is truth. Jesus said, my words are truth. And if you don't believe what the Word of God says, when it tells you what you have to do to have salvation, then God will turn you over to your own thinking, your own reasoning, and he said, I'll let you believe that you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. I'll let you believe a lie and be damned, the Bible said. As a matter of fact, he said, I will cause you to believe a lie and be damned because you wouldn't believe the truth. Now, you say, what are you saying, Brother Pye? The Bible said that we are to pray that God will lead us not into temptation. How many of you understand that God is the one that leads you into temptation? Somebody said, the devil led me into temptation. The devil doesn't lead you into temptation. The Bible said God leads you into temptation. Pray then, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Because God gets angry with you, because God gets tired of fooling with you, because you won't listen to him, then he turns you over to your own thinking, which is a reprobate mind. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding, that's your reasoning, your thinking. He said, don't think your thoughts, don't reason in your head. Don't listen to what people tell you. Don't go by what you think about it or feel about it or what you've heard about it. But he said to believe what the Word of God says about it. That is faith, my brother. That is heartfelt conviction. That is faith. When you believe what the Word of God says about it, then that is faith. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And when you believe from your heart what the Word of God says, then you will do what the Word of God says, because what you do is a manifestation of what you believe. Your doing is the proof of your believing. The writer said, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith of what I believe but what I do. Whatever you do, that's what you believe. Somebody said, I believe I'm a Christian. Well, why do you do the things that's unlike Christ? Why do you do so many things that's unlike Christ? That's positive proof that you don't believe that you're a Christian. You don't believe in salvation. You don't believe in godliness, so you'd practice godliness. Somebody would say, well, what do you think I believe in, Brother Pike? I know what you believe in. You believe in what you do. If you gossip, then you believe in gossiping. If you backbite, then you believe in backbiting. If you fuss and mumble and grumble and find fault with the preachers and with the neighbors and with God's people, then that's what you are. The Bible said, do all things without murmuring. A lot of people, they just can't go to church without murmuring. Everything the neighbors do, they just have to murmur a little bit about it, find a little fault with it, say a little something against it. They have to murmur a little bit. Whatever the preacher preaches, they just have to murmur a little bit about it. They just can't really swallow it down. Go on and love the Lord. They've got to hash it out a little bit and murmur a little bit over it. Isn't that right? The wife can't just obey the husband. She's got to murmur a little bit about what he tells her. Is that right? The children can't obey the parents. They've got to murmur a little bit about what the parents tell them to do. In the olden times, children didn't murmur in the presence of the parents. Now, they might have murmured a little bit when they got off. But I'll tell you what, old granddaddy had set the seat of the pants on fire if a boy had started to murmur around him by what he told him. So then, we need to do all things without murmuring, because whatever we do, that's what we are, that's what we believe. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or that means so he does. Is that right? But what ought we to be like? Like Jesus? Like Jesus? The Bible said we are preordained from the foundation of the world to conform to the image of his Son. Who was this Jesus? The Bible said he was the express image of the person of the invisible God. The word express means conveyed, given to, or that which came forth of God. That is to say, he was the express person or image, the only image, the only person. I know we've got it in our mind, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to see a long beard, gray-haired fella sitting over here that's going to be the Father. We're going to see another sharp-looking fella sitting over here that's going to be the Son. And we haven't figured out at all what the Holy Ghost is going to look like. You can ask a Trinitarian preacher, he can't tell you that part. He's got two parts of it figured out, but the third part, he can't figure that part out. Are you listening? There is but one God, and that's Jesus. There is a human body of the Son of God. That's the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's the only one there is. There ain't no two or three of them up there. That's the only one. The Bible said three bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit, and these three are one. Somebody said it says these three agree in one. It doesn't say that these three agree in one. It said water, blood, spirit in the earth, these three agree in one. But in heaven, Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. Is that right? So then what was Jesus? God is the invisible spirit of glory, radiance, life, and exceeding brightness. And Jesus became a human form to project that brightness, that exceeding glory, through a human form. That's why he is the brightness of his image, the expressness of his image. He expresses God, and Jesus is the only human expression of God there is in the earth in its entirety. There is no other. Now, you say, well, Brother Pike, aren't you Jesus? No, I'm not Jesus.
Somebody said, well, aren't you God?
No, I'm not God. I'm Brother Pike.
Who are you?
There's but one Jesus. That's the one that took the nails in his hand. There's but one God. That's the one that hung at Calvary, but felt the pain and suffered for his people. There's but one that spilt his blood. That's Jesus. A lot of these people that spiritualize everything, they spiritualize Jesus, and they just put Jesus slap out of the picture, and there ain't no Jesus. I want to tell you something. There ain't no Jesus. We in bad shape. Because the only one that God's going to listen to as an intercessor is a human body called Jesus. I never spilled my blood for you. I said the other night, my blood could not have done to be spilled for you. I'd be willing to spill it for you. I'd be willing to be crucified. I believe he'd give me grace to do it. But going to the cross, that wasn't what it was. It had to be a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. There's never lived a man that ever had blood that was sufficient for the atonement. Jesus wasn't the only man that was crucified. A lot of people take the crucifixion and they act like he was the only man that was ever crucified. Jesus wasn't the only man that was ever crucified. Numbers of people was crucified. It wasn't the cross. It wasn't the crucifixion. It was the blood. He said, he didn't say, when I see the cross, you Catholics, I'll pass over you. They hang them around their neck like you'd think so. All these religious people going around with a cross hanging around their neck. Well, I don't mean nothing to God except remind him of the death of his son, the thing he hates. Because the devil killed him, the suffering. But it's the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. They didn't say, when I see Brother Pike's blood, I'll pass over you. Brother Branham's blood, Brother Paul's blood, Brother Elijah's blood. But when he sees the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, I'll pass over you then. Somebody said, well, I'm all confused. Now I thought this was the coming of the Lord. Well, I'm not confused. This is the coming of the Lord. Before we get all mixed up, we want to do away with the Jesus. We want to do away with the natural body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a natural body. He's got fingers like I got a head, like I got a body, like I got, he's got blood. You understand what I'm saying? Somebody said, well, I thought you was God, Brother Pike. Well, I'm not. In case you did, you're all mixed up, because I'm not. I'm Brother Pike. I'm your brother, helper of your faith. All right, now. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, this revelation that we've got here, what is this? It's Jesus Christ. All right, let me clarify that. You mean to tell me that this is the coming of the Lord? It's absolutely the coming of the Christ. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any alterations, I make no apologies for it. I don't have to go ask some professor or some philosopher. I don't have to ask somebody in college or some preacher over yonder in a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Pentecostal or Catholic church. It's the coming of the Lord. The Lord himself told me and showed it to me, proved it to me. It's the coming of the Lord, not coming a part of the Lord. It's not part of the Christ coming, some of the Christ coming. Or maybe he's coming. It's absolutely the coming of the Christ. Somebody said, well, you got me all mixed up. Now here you is, you say you ain't Jesus, and now you say you is Jesus. No, I didn't say I was Jesus. I told you who Jesus was. I tell you this over and over in my sermons. The Jesus that was nailed to Calvary, that Jesus parallels with the natural Jew people. And when that natural human body comes back, it is coming back to a Jew people. Because it is the head of the Jews. The Jews is the head of the nation, and that head is the head of the Jews. You follow me? It's the capstone of the pyramid. What is the pyramid? The Jews are the pyramid.
What's the capstone, the cornerstone? It's Jesus. Well, then what are we doing? You are the spiritual pyramid. You're the spiritual Jew. Well, what's the capstone? The Christ. And this is the coming of the Christ. The Christ himself.
Everything is to head up in the revelation, because the revelation is the Christ himself coming. That's how that I and you and others have the privilege as the Gentile people to have the fullness of God, the Spirit, within our human bodies, within our human temples, because God is a Spirit, Christ is a Spirit, and Christ is coming like a thief in the night, in the carnal reasoning, in the carnal mind, and stealing out the jewels by spiritual translation and spiritual revelation. And nobody sees it. Two's in the field. What is the field? The Bible said the field is the world. Two in the field, two in the world. One taken and one left. What a translation. Somebody said, you don't expect me to believe that. Well, it's up to you, whatever you want to believe. If you don't believe the truth, you believe a lie and be damned. God lets you believe whatever you want to. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God's rapturing the people out and I don't see them? I mean to tell you exactly that. I mean exactly that. Without any apologies, right down to the T. Somebody said, well, I don't see him going anywhere. I know that. I realize that. You know why you don't see me going anywhere? You want me to tell you? Because you don't see me. I said, you don't see me. If you saw me, you'd know where I was going, but you don't see me. Somebody said, well, what do you mean you don't see me? You must think I'm blind. Jesus said, if you're blind, you'd be all right. But because you say you see, your sins remain in bad shape. So then, you can't see me. Why? Because as I've said before, I'm hid with God. Somebody said, well, I play that game with you every sermon, Brother Pike. I mean, I agree with you. We all hid, but we still see each other. No, I'm not playing a game with you. And we're not all hid, and we don't hide like a bunch of children and still see each other. I'm really genuinely hid with God in Christ, and you don't see me. If you can see me, then I'm not hid. That's absurd, that's silly, that's foolish. To say that a man's hid and you stand there looking at him, he couldn't be very well hid. The Bible said I'm hid, that means you can't see me. Where am I at? I am hid with Christ. I am hid with Christ. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm standing there looking at you. But you couldn't. You say, why? Because the Bible said it's no more I that live. No more I that live, Paul said. The Paul that did live, he was crucified with Christ at Calvary. The Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Having been baptized into Christ, as many have been baptized into Christ, they put on Christ. Somebody said, well, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I didn't say be baptized in Jesus' name. I said as many have been baptized into Christ is what I said. That's a world of difference. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about what Paul called the doctrine of baptisms. Jesus said one time, said, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? They said, we believe you can. We believe we can. I said, okay, you're going to be baptized with it. What was it? It was a baptism of suffering. The doctrine of baptism, as many has been baptized into Christ. A lot of people have been baptized in Jesus' name, never been baptized into Christ. You follow me? The Bible said you're not of this world, but I've chosen you out of this world. Somebody said, well, I see you, Brother Pike. Then you must be hid with me. Now we're hiding together. That's okay. That is to say, if I'm up here in heaven, you're up here in heaven too, then we can look at each other. It's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth within me, not on the outside of me. That shell here is only the casket. That's only the cocoon that the butterfly is coming out of.
That's on the grave clothes. That's dead with Christ, crucified, buried, inactive to the things of the world. When I was out in the world, I loved the things of the world. I was alive. And then when I become a Christian, I kill the outer man. Paul said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. If you've not crucified the flesh, if you still have a desire for the things of the world and the things of the flesh and the natural families of the world, then you're not dead to the flesh. You'll go to hell. But I've crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof. Therefore, it's not I that live, for I am dead. Buried with the Lord in baptism. Has many been baptized in the Lord to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible said, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. How can you do it? By being baptized into him. The Bible said, as many have been baptized into him, it put him on. Isn't that right? What is it? It's the wedding garment. There is no wedding garment except the body of the Lord Jesus Christ until your body becomes dead and your spirit leaves it. For the Bible said, at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. If I'm crucified with Christ by the Calvary, then my body is buried in baptism. That's what baptism is. In the Navy, it's a burying place. I am buried in baptism with him. Then I put on the Lord. I died with him at Calvary. I've been resurrected with him. In the newness of life, old things have passed away. Fleshly sins are gone. No more fleshly charges against me. Today I'm a quickening spirit through the blood of Jesus. Oh my, what a revelation. I'd love to get into that. So then, it is not I that live, but it's Christ that's living within me. And the life I now live, I don't live it as Brother Pike, out yonder living it up in the flesh. That's dead, but I live it as the Son of God. Paul said, it's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. What is that? I live it by the Word. That's what I do. The life I live according to the Word. That's the Son of God. The Word is the Son of God. I live it by the Word, according to the Word. The life I live by the Word. I live it by the Son of God. Are listening? God is the Word, the Spirit of holiness. My words are spirit. In the beginning was God, the Word, the Spirit, the holiness. And my spirit is one with holiness. I live according to that. I live, and yet not I, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me. Christ within me, the hope of glory. So then when God sees me as my old man, he's dead, buried, gone, the end of sin. You say, how do you get that? I read to you, brethren, over here in Hebrews, the Bible said the Lord himself tasted death for every man. Is that right? He tasted death for Brother Lyman. Brother Lyman never has to die. He never has to taste death. Jesus tasted death for him. If Brother Lyman's going to go on and die anyway, then Jesus died in vain for the brother. But he tasted death for every man, that he might destroy him, that's Satan. The one that hath power over death, he wanted to destroy him, put an end to him. He done away with him. There's no such thing as a Lucifer. There's no such thing as a devil. There's no such thing as a Satan to the children of God. You say, what do you mean by that? I mean because the devil was destroyed at Calvary by Christ. He said, I've destroyed him that had power over death. I've done away with him. To the children of God, he doesn't exist anymore. The only way that you can fall into the hands of the devil is through fear, frustration, doubt of the word, not accepting the promises of liberty and freedom, power, victory over the enemy. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Poverty can't hurt you. Sickness can't hurt you. Troubles can't hurt you. Nothing can hurt you. I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. To as many as believed, to them gave you the power to become God, sons of God. Is that right? Even as many as believed on his name. Somebody said, even as many as believed, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It didn't say that. It didn't say to everyone that believed, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, that I give him power. It said, everyone that believeth in the name Jesus. Said, if they that are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves, I'll hear from heaven. There's power in none other name. That's why Jesus said, repent, be baptized for the remission of sin through Peter in the name of Jesus. Is that right? All right. Let's look at it for just a minute. Jesus expressing the brightness of the invisible Spirit. What am I to do today? I am to be perfect as my Heavenly Father. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his Heavenly Father. Isn't that right? Now what is it? What we need to do is to express the brightness of the coming of the Lord. Is that right? I want to express Him. I want to show Him and do what He tells me to do and be like Him. There is a difference. My brothers and sisters, there is a difference. It's not you that's living. You're hid with God. You're hid. It's not some kind of Church of God game that Church of God's played for the last 25 or 30 years. It's not some kind of Baptist program that they put on for the last few years. It's not a Pentecostal get-together. It's God's Word. We are hid with God in Christ, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoration. Then where are we? We are in the heavens, my brother. When Jesus looked at Nicodemus, He said, no man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of God, the Son of Man, who came down from heaven. And He said, Nicodemus, who is in heaven? That flesh, blood, bone was standing on the earth, but He said, I am in heaven. I'm in heaven. I've been to heaven. I've come down from heaven, and I'm still in heaven. And how can I be hid tonight? I'm hid because I'm in heaven tonight. I'm in heaven tonight. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. Well, that's what the Bible said. You're not of this world, for God has chosen you out of this world and hid you with God in Christ, whom the heavens have received. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I believe that that means potentially. You just go on with your potentialism. I ain't talking about no potentially nothing about it. I'm talking about being in heaven, folks. A lot of you potential believers are going to potentially wind up in hell. That's what you're going to do. I'm not playing a game. The thing that's going to take you out of this world is believing you're gone from this world. The thing that's going to heal your sick body is believing it's not sick. The thing that's going to resurrect from the dead is them that believe the people still live, because He tasted death for every man. I feel religious, don't you, Bill? Praise God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I believe Jesus likes what I'm talking about. Amen. No games about it, no playing about it. It's real, my brother. It's real, my sister. You get out here and slave all day in the hot sun, and the sweat pour off of your body, you get soaking wet. There ain't nothing potential about that. I'm talking about the real thing. I am hid with God. I'm hid with God. Why? Why do you believe that? Because that's what the Bible says. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, I think you're just crazy. Yeah, they told Paul that too. Paul said, I'm not crazy. I'm not beside myself. This thing wasn't done in a corner. You understand what I'm saying, folks? Let me tell you, these deliverance ministers that go from place to place and they preach healing to you, I want you to know the devil's cunning as a fox. He left to preach healing. He left to preach deliverance. Why, he left for people to make money and line his pocketbook. He left to preach the goodies to them. Sure, somebody don't hurt their feelings. Don't say anything bad to them. Don't tell them about their evil doings. Just preach healing to them. Deliverance to them. A little racket, a little rookie. Something running up and down the coast somewhere to be able to get a pocketbook full of money. A nice position. Oh, you can call it what you want to, but that's what the Bible calls it. I believe God's word, everyone God gave, will call upon the name of the Lord. That's right. What is it? I'm in heaven, brother. Somebody said, I'm healed. And eat up with cancer. Healed? Heart trouble, healed, Got paralysis? Sure, why not? Because the Bible said that they call those things that are not as though they are. Is that right? Faith, because God's word says, by his stripes ye were healed at Calvary. Then you believe what he said about it. Deny what you believe about it. Deny what you think about it. And take what God says about it. Why should I believe what God's word says about it? Because in the beginning was the word, and the word spoke everything into existence. And the word is the same to every generation. The man that places faith in the word becomes life. And the word becomes a healer. The Bible said he sent his word and healed them. By his word he cast out the unclean spirits. By his word he spoke the world into existence. I like that. I tell you, when I start talking about the word, I like that. I like that. Where our trouble is, we want to believe what we think about it. We want to believe what we've been told about it. We want to believe some old tale about it. What our grandmother said about it. And I'll tell you what, grandmother and tales and old wives' fables and church traditions and all of those things, preachers and laities and everybody else will sink into the flames of hell. You say, my dear darling mother and brother and sister and whatnot, I don't care what you call them. My brother, if they got the Holy Ghost, they'll obey this word. And the word said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You tell me the Holy Ghost will tell me to do that and won't tell you to do that. You tell me there's a dozen different ways to get to God. We sang that song, there's one, ain't but one way to God. That's be baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My brother said it, that door was opened at Pentecost. 3,000 went into it, the first church and the only church. Glory to God. The first church and the only church. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never told nobody to start another church and baptize any other way. You say, who told him? The devil told him. The devil told him. Ain't he good? Hallelujah. Go tell some of them folks you're in heaven and you'll find out whether they got the mind of God or not. They'll say, boy, this fella's ready for the white coat. That's right. And somebody said, well, I know they got the mind of God. You go over and tell them where you're at and see if they got the mind of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you right now, when you got the mind of God, you know where you're at. And where are you at? I'm in heaven. How do you know you're in heaven? Because he said I'm in heaven. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, but I see you and you're not in heaven. I see you. No, you don't. Oh, you said a while ago, you said we could see you. I said, if you're up here with me. Now, if you're up here with me, you're not going to deny that I'm up here because you know you're up here too. But them folks that's not up here with me, don't you tell me you see me. You can't because I'm hid with Christ. You say, but I'm looking at you. Yeah, but you can't believe what you see. Can't believe what you hear either. Somebody said, well, what you going to believe? What he said about it. Somebody said, you mean to tell me I can't believe what I see? No. No, you can't believe what you see. Can't believe what you hear either. Why? Old brother Jonah down in the belly of the whale, he kept looking at the belly of the whale. He said, don't believe it. Don't believe it. Somebody said, but you're crazy, Jonah. There it is. No, it's a lying vanity. I don't believe it. Why? He said, because I believe what God said about it. I believe what God said about it. Whatever God said, that's what it is. You love the Lord? You mean to tell me these 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain, scientists say 22 conductive nerves from the eye to brain, you mean to tell me you're going to believe what them little old nerves create on the shadow of some puny little old eyeball that you could punch out with a pen? You're going to believe that in the face of God's word that created you in heaven and earth? I believe the word. My eyes can see frogs jumping up and down. It don't make no difference. If God said there ain't no frogs, there ain't no frogs. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but wait a minute, Brother Pike. Don't you know a fellow's got heart trouble? If God's word says he's healed, as far as I'm concerned, he's healed. Somebody said, what if he died with heart trouble and the doctor diagnosed it as heart trouble? It just means him and the doctor both an unbeliever. They need to get right with God and believe what God said about it. It's like that feller Like it fell over yonder, Brother James McKellum. You know, the people around here have been praying and they've been getting some good results. That woman is crawling around on the floor. God healed her and raised her back up. And then we got that report over here where they had that spot on the brain and you prayed for it and the doctors took the x-ray and went back, checked, and the spot was gone. Then they sent this call about Brother Jane McKellum and said that, you know, he'd had cancer for about a year or more and just run at the throat and had to tape it up. It was an ugly looking thing. I've seen it. And they sent for prayer. When we prayed for their son, the spot was moved. So it set their heart on fire to believe for their daddy. So the wife said, if you'll pray, I believe it'll happen. So they sent us word. God bear me record whether I tell a lie or not. I ask you to pray. I got down on my knees and I prayed in the night and I prayed in the night and I talked to God until God came to me and said, it'll be all right. I said, well, praise God. James will be all right. They took him to the hospital. Now remember, the devil ain't going to give God no glory. That carnal-minded doctor, he'd die before he'd give any good thing toward God. That's right, he might be a religious hypocrite, but he ain't going to do that for God. He's going to reason it out to where his natural brain gets the glory for it. In a few little years, he spent in college somewhere messing around with a medical book. Come on, folks. All right? They took him and they operated on him. After they operated on him, they sent back word, said, God's worked a miracle. God's worked a miracle. Said, what is it? Said, they found out it ain't cancer. Said, it's just an infection. That's strange, ain't it? The doctor diagnosed it as cancer. It stayed cancer until we prayed and it became an infection. I said, that's strange, ain't it? Why come it didn't become an infection before? You know why? Because God undertook, like God said. But you get that doctor to admit it. I heard of a case one time where a woman had cancer. They took the x-rays. They proved it was cancer. The x-rays said it was cancer. And the doctors didn't want to admit that God had healed her. The woman said, God heal me. They took her back and took x-rays and the cancer was gone. And the doctors was too learned in the head to admit it. And they both got together and the woman heard them arguing about it. And the doctor said one to another, said, I know them x-rays showed that woman had cancer. I don't know what happened to it, but I know it showed she had them. And she sat and listened to them disputing over it, trying to figure out what was wrong. Folks, don't we believe in God? Isn't there a real God? If God is real, why doesn't God do what he said he would do? He promised he'd do it. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I believe that, don't you? Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. He said, I will do it. I will do it. All right, let's look at it just a few minutes. Now, where am I? I'm going to believe what God said about it, ain't you? Where am I? I am in heaven. How did I get there? I was translated. Come on now. I was translated. The Bible said Enoch, the seventh from Adam, that he was translated. Is that right? Said he walked with God 300 years. He was not, for God took him. Where did he take him to? Where did he take him? Same place he took Elijah when the fire chariot picked him up. Same place he took Moses. They appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration in glory. With Jesus in glory. Where did he take Enoch? Where did he take him to? The Bible said he was translated by faith. He was translated by faith. Faith in what? Somebody said, well, where did he get his faith? The Bible said the scriptures appeared unto Abraham. And the scriptures talk with Abraham. When we say scripture, we're talking about a scribing. Something they scribbled down, they scribed down. The scribes scribed, and they called it the scribings, which is the scriptures. You follow me? Like you used to call it, I mentioned this. You know, they used to have what they call the legislation. You know why they did that? Well, they put it on slate. So they call it the legislation. They can put it on film now. You follow me? Like history, his story. How do you follow what I'm saying? Enoch was translated by faith. How did he get that faith? The scriptures, before it ever become the scriptures, before it ever become the scribings, God, who was a spiritual word in the beginning, it talked with Enoch, like it talked with Adam in the garden, like it talked with Noah before the flood, like it talked with Abraham when Sodom and Gomorrah was rained with fire and brimstone. Look, folks, why don't we believe there's going to be some fire and brimstone? The Bible tells us that not very far from here, Betty and I intend to go over there. We'll go, if nothing happened, we'll go right through the city where the fire came down and burned it, where Lot and him was, where the angels stood and talked with him. The city that was burned down with the fire and the brimstone. If he done it over there, wouldn't he do it on this side of the ocean? You get him upset when he do it over here? There's a real God. There's a real God. Won't you listen in just a few minutes? There's a real God. We ought to believe what God said about it. God started this thing. He was the Word. He spoke it into existence. He made it. We're made from His Word. The world exists from His Word. The ocean, the stars, everything exists because His Word said, let there be. In the beginning was God the Word. Came forth and made Himself a human body. The world didn't know Him. Called Jesus Christ. Is that right? That's what John said about it. If the Word started, why can't the Word finish it? If the Word says it, I don't care what I see, I don't care what I think, I don't care what I hear, I don't care what you tell me, whatever God said, that's exactly what it is. The rest of it's a bunch of lying vanities that will eventually pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. All of the lying vanities will pass away. But the Word will not pass away. The Word is established forever in heaven. The Word, what it says, is going to stand. I want you to look at it in a minute. What caused the problem? I read it to you tonight. The blood. It was the blood. I said a little early in the sermon, it was the blood. What's the difference in the blood? What is the difference? I read it to you in Hebrews, where the Bible speaks, because the children partook of flesh and blood, He also partook of the same. You follow me? Where it says where the children partook, according to the Greek, and where he partook is not the same. It's not the same. One is altogether different in the translation. Now you say, what are you trying to say? Listen to it just a minute, you'll see. He said, inasmuch as the children partook of flesh and blood. One word is koinohio in the translation. The other is matecho in the translation. One meaning partaking of that outside of oneself, which is to partake altogether. The other is to partake in part. I said, what do you mean by that? I mean that the children partook of flesh and blood altogether. But Jesus partook a part, which was the flesh, the bones, but not partakers of the blood. He became a human body, but not partakers of the blood. For he was not born of the blood of Adam. He was born of the blood that God created in the womb of Mary. It was a different blood. What was the difference in it? Judas said, I betrayed innocent blood. He knew the blood was innocent. As I said before, Brother Pike's blood wouldn't do to shed for you. It was his blood. What was it? It was the replacement blood. Adam's blood was clean to start with, but he defiled it. All humanity is of one blood. God's made all nations of one blood. Everybody's born into sin. Every baby that comes in the world is born into sin. God doesn't charge it against the baby because he don't charge it until you get old enough to know right and wrong. But as quick as that baby gets old enough to know right and wrong, that devil on the inside begins to hound him. Is that right? Wander away in the teenage wilderness, begin to wonder. Come out of the garlic and the onion of the child, go into that teenage wandering. Wander around sometime and don't never get across Jordan, which is the old carnal mind. Coming into the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the land of milk and honey. Some of them don't never get out, mumble and grumble and die with the elders. So then it was the blood that caused the trouble. That's why God kept Israel under the blood. That's why the cloud followed them. By day, it was a pillar of cloud. which meant a rain of refreshing, the latter the former rain coming. But at night it was a pillar of fire. The pillar of fire symbolized the blood, the covering of the blood. What was the darkness? The carnal mind. It was your carnal thinking, your carnal mind. He'll come as a thief in the darkness, a thief in the night. Paul turned my people from darkness to light, from their own intellectual, educational understanding over to the mind of God. What is the difference? When Jesus laid down and died, he got back up. Why? Because the Bible said it was not fit or meet that death should behold him or keep him in the grave or beholden of it. Is that right? It couldn't be beholden of death. Why? There was no way. The sentence of death was upon the blood of Adam, not upon the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ couldn't corrupt. And you got to have blood that will corrupt to bring death. So the sentence was upon the blood of Adam and not the blood of Christ, which was the second man, Adam. That's how I got into the picture. I'm bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, blood of his blood. Royal blood flows through my veins. You say, how could that be? In Adam, all die because of the bloodstream. Satan's in the bloodstream. Death's in the bloodstream. You got to be born again. You got to get the spirit of life in you, the spirit of God in you. I made the statement, if you've never been born again of the spirit of God, you can be baptized in every water hold you on every church. That isn't going to do you any good. You can believe in your head you're going to heaven when you're going to hell. You got to be born again. Get faith in your heart. Get the spirit of God in you. It don't make no difference what you believe. If you ain't got God's spirit, the Bible says you're none of his. The Spirit of God's got to live on the inside of you, walk and talk inside of you. Have you listened now? Don't go to sleep. Just stay a few more minutes. I ain't preached as long as Paul preached. Just stay awake a few more minutes. All right, what is it? It's the blood. There's a difference in the blood. Adam's blood made one kind of flesh. Jesus' blood makes another kind of flesh. You say, where do you get that? All right, listen. Paul said there's one kind of flesh of birds. Are you listening? There's another kind of flesh of fishes. Is that right? There's another kind of humanity. Is that right? There's one flesh of this, another flesh of that. He said we're sown, laid down as a terrestrial. We're brought forth as a celestial. Is that right? We go down as a mortal. We come forth immortal. I go down in corruption, I come up incorruptible. I'm a human being, a body of the blood of Adam with Adam's flesh. What kind of flesh was that? Beast. Beast. Had one kind of flesh of the beast, he said. It's a beast. But when Jesus come up out of the grave, what was he? The Bible said the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Is that right? One of the natural earth, as I bore the image of the earthly, so shall I bear the image of the heavenly. I bore the image, this body of the beastly. I bore the image of the first man, Adam, that went to sin, that fell into the hands of the beast in the garden. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I bear the image of the second man, Adam, the flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. What was he? He was a quickening spirit. Somebody said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pike. If he was a quickening spirit, he didn't have no flesh and bones. When he come up out of the grave, he was every bit alive. He had overcome death. He was the same Jesus. And he said, fill of me. I've got flesh and bones. Somebody said, now, wait just a minute. What do you mean? Well, the Bible says we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, well, that means before he ever come out of the grave. Well, that means you're a sinner then. The Bible said he was made sin in his first body. Is that right? The Bible said he's made sin in his body so that we would not be sinners in our body. So then you jumped your gun somewhere. Because that ain't the right way to look at it. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. That can't be, but it can be. I can be. Say, where do you get it? All right, let me prove it to you. I'm married to a woman. I'm not a woman, naturally speaking, but I'm married to a woman. Then what did the Bible say? If he be married to her or she be married to him, It said that they are no longer twain, but they are one flesh. Come on, folks. I said, he said, they are one flesh. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute. You mean she ain't no longer a gray? She's a pike? That's why they changed her name. She's my flesh. Flesh. Are you listening? You mean to tell me that that daughter is no longer a pike? She's a beretta? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Are you listening? He said they are no longer twain. They are no longer twain. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, you know you got to believe what you see. But I don't believe what I see. I believe what he said about it. He said, but I see you and your wife and you're two of you. But it wasn't what he said. He said it's just one of us. If God said we're one, we're one. One flesh. See, I told you couldn't believe everything you saw. Hear me and Betty come down a road and say, one, two. Can't be. I mean, you say one don't mean one anymore, two don't mean two anymore. Some fellas said it didn't, said one got more molecules than the other. Because we know better than that. That's what a little boy told me in Alabama one time, said his daddy proved it. Said, it wasn't the same thing, one wasn't the same thing. I said, why? He said, one got more molecules than the other has. All right, now, are you listening to me? You can't believe what you see. Because everything you see in this world is a lying vanity. And it's going to pass away. It's just appearing for a while. Calling those things that are as though they are not. Believing what he said. I come into the pulpit here. My wife comes in. Somebody said, one Betty, two Brother Pike. But see, that's wrong. And I said, Brother Pike, that's wrong. There ain't no need to go to school no more. I told you it wasn't. Don't teach you lying vanities. You don't need to be going over there. Bible said all lies have part in the lake of fire. You go over there and say, one, two, Betty George. Is that in right? They say, how do you count it? Betty George, one. That's the right education there. That's the mind of God. I know the professors say I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. They're the ones that are mixed up. I'm not mixed up. We are no longer two, but we are one flesh. Now, what did Paul say about this? I'm going to close in a few minutes. He said, this is a great mystery concerning the church. I like that, don't you? What kind of mystery is that? I'm no longer twain with my Lord, but I'm one. We're one flesh. It's not two of us, but we're just one. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Now, you believe you can be it? You believe you can be it? And still look like something else? Lying vanity? See, it's the blood. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, your blood ain't in Sister Betty. I know that. But it wasn't the blood that done it. It was the Word that done it. See, the Word created heaven and earth. If the Word created Betty at one, and then the Word decided because I fell in love with her, she fell in love with me, that God wanted us to be just one together. So he says in the Word again, now both of you just one. If it was all right for him to do that the first time, is it all right for him to do it the second time? It's his business, his people. That's the way he wanted. If he said it's what it is, what it is. So then what caused that? It was my spirit going into Betty's heart. A woman doesn't belong to a man, and she is not his wife unless her spirit submits to him. Because it takes his spirit to go into her heart, take control of her spirit, and her spirit being his spirit. Come on, folks, wake up. It ain't that late. Look, let me say this a little bit, and I'm going to close out. I'm trying to show you something. The rapture's at hand. I'm trying to show you how it took place. Somebody said, boy, did I miss the rapture? I'm afraid you did. But if you listen, I'll tell you how it took place. Now, well, what is it? My spirit went into Betty's heart because her spirit surrendered to my spirit when she said she loved me. Somebody said, oh, she's making believe, she's lied. Well, she ain't my wife then. A woman is not wife to a man unless her spirit becomes one with his spirit. And when his spirit goes into her spirit is in her blood, in her heart. and her blood changes to his blood. It's the spirit that causes the blood. And her spirit, her blood changes, and her flesh becomes flesh of his flesh, because his spirit made her blood the same as his blood. Are you listening? Some doctors said, oh, both of you got a different type of blood. Ain't nothing to that. That shows how ignorant he is. If God says it's the same, it's the same. I don't care what the doctor says about it. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He just had a brainstorm because he got out of college, that's all. All right, what is it? Calling those things that are not as though they are. If God says she's my flesh, she's my flesh. That's right. I didn't like the idea of her just being my flesh no more than I did her being her flesh. So I took both of his flesh and turned it over to Jesus and become flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. Because both of our flesh, I didn't like neither one of them. All right, now, let me say a few more words and close. I want you to see something here. When the Lord spilled his blood, the Lord Jesus Christ's spirit came down inside of my heart. And that is a life. A spirit is a mind. It's a nature. It's a life. And when his spirit, his life, his nature, just like you graft in that lemon to an orange tree and it feeds off the same life. One limb bearing lemons, the other bearing oranges over here. It bears according to nature. Are you listening? The same life coming up through a lemon tree, but on this limb, because you grafted that orange limb into a lemon tree, it's bearing oranges over here while it feeds off of a lemon life. And bearing lemons on the other tree, and up a little higher, it's bearing grapefruits. That's something, ain't it? What is it? One spirit, many operations. See, it's just one life. It's just water life coming up through a trunk, through branches, and it's just feeding according to the nature that's in the limb. The nature isn't in the tree, it's in the limb. Now, the nature's in the tree for the lemon, but the Gentiles are grafted in wild by nature, the Bible said. Not even in their own olive tree. They're grafted into the Jew's olive tree. Salvation to the Jew. They're wild by nature. Are you listening? So then, I graft Betty into my tree. She becomes bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Christ's spirit went down in my heart. His spirit is in my blood. His spirit is a nature. It's a life. It produces after its kind. The Bible said we're partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. I've got Christ's nature, not Brother Pike's nature. I haven't got the devil's nature. I'm born of Adam out there. When you people are born of Adam, you have the devil's nature. And your image conformed to the devil. Brother Gary's little boy looks like Brother Gary. Brother Charlie's little boy looks like Brother Charlie. Brother Lyman's little boy looks like Brother Lyman. Because it's got his nature in it. Brother Jesus' little boy looks like Jesus. That's right. I got his spirit on the inside of me. I'm one of his little boys. I got his spirit on the inside of me. His spirit went down in my blood. It went down in my blood genetics. It become a nature. And my image today is conforming to him, and I'm looking like him. I don't know what he looks like, but in the morning when he comes, I'll be like him. Because I got his nature, I'm conforming to him. Not the image of the beast, first man Adam, missing the resurrection. But I'm conforming to the image of the Son of God. Is that right? Predestinated to follow in his steps. It's the blood that did it. There's a difference. He spilled his blood. Now royal blood flows in my veins. If his nature and his spirit made Jesus Christ's blood in his body, then that same spirit, that same nature in my body will make Jesus Christ's blood. If that Jesus Christ's blood made bone and flesh of Jesus Christ, then it'll make bone and flesh Jesus Christ again. It'll still produce Jesus Christ, bone and flesh. If it produce it for him, it'll produce it for me. How many agree that? I'm going to say this in close. What it amounts to, folks, is that God saw that he had lost his creation and there wasn't no way in the world to ever redeem it because their thoughts was continually evil and he had to destroy the whole thing. So he had to make him a human body, come down and perfect a life in that human body, and then give a spiritual transfusion from that human body to every other individual and change them over to his way. I want to say this again. There's only one transformating blood. Now, somebody said, if what you say is right, a doctor would say, if Brother Pike gets Brother Lyman's blood, then he's done turned into Brother Lyman. The blood ain't got nothing to do with it. All nations is made of the same blood. He got the same blood I have. I don't make no difference. Black men, white men, red men, yellow men, all one blood. Ain't got nothing to do with it. But I'll tell you what, if I get Brother Lyman's spirit, it's going to be a difference. The Bible said concerning old Brother Moses down there, said God took a Moses' spirit and put it on the people. I would to God today that God take of the spirit and put it on you. Moses' spirit was on the people. It made a difference. They act like Moses, talk like Moses. Somebody at the paint store said, you ain't one of them fellas from down at the campground. I said, well, how did you guess it? Well, they all act alike. How do they act? Like Jesus. You know, the devil will stick out his old tongue and say, all of you just alike. Just one bunch of bananas. What kind? Heavenly. You love the Lord? A lot of things we could say tonight, but this is true. One flesh of one thing, one flesh of another. That's how the rapture took place, for the Bible said God hath already done it. Translated me into the marvelous kingdom of my God, just like he translated Enoch by faith. By believing this, regardless to what you said or I said or they said or whatever you thought, by believing this faith in the word, translate Enoch into God and into heaven. Made him one with God and put him in heaven. That's exactly right, my brothers and sisters. This word is spirit, and this is the spirit that's in me, the creative spirit, the creative word that spoke me into existence to begin with, that's changing me again in his own image and his likeness. Is that right? Believe in that word, it'll heal you. Believe in that word, it'll save you. Believe in that word, it'll change you from glory to glory. Believe in that word, it'll translate your faith by the hearing of the word. Are you listening? That's God faith, the faith, the only faith. Can't believe it in your head and do yourself no good. That's just religious. That's just religious fever. But I'll tell you what, you believe it in your heart and something will take place.